From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 18th day of May, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, legislation on the Hill does not yet include a way for industry to use agriculture for carbon offsets, but it may be in the works. And U.S. EPA wants more details on the refuse-in-a-bag idea Pioneer Hybrid has floated. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. Hey, the fields in Illinois and the eastern Corn Belt are ponded today, but drying out. Still, that's costing corn farmers money. We'll tell you just how much based on some hard numbers from last week. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all comes up on this Monday edition of Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. It is a production, of course, of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat up 13 cents today, a $5.90 settlement price. September at 6.16.5, up 12.5, and December at 6.38.5, up 12.25. July wheat in Kansas City settled 13.5 cents higher at $6.44. From the corn pit in Chicago, $4.21.5, the settlement price for the nearby July, up 4.25, September up 4 cents, a settlement price at 4.30¾, December at 4.42, up 3.5 cents, and the March contract a 4.52 settlement price. It finished the day 3 cents higher, May contract in the corn at 4.59, up 2.75 for next year. July soybeans, $11.46.5, 16 higher, August at $11.5, up 15.5, and September futures, $10.37, up 13.75. November beans, $9.87, up 11.25. The January at $9.90, up 11.5 cents. July bean meal up $8.10 at 366.30, and July bean oil at $38.16, up 26. June live cattle futures, 82.52.5, 15 cents higher. August at 83.12.5, up 60 cents, and May feeders at $99 even, unchanged. May lean hogs down 5.5 cents at $62.07. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It was the outside markets that pushed Chicago higher, and that's because crude oil was up $2.69. It's its settlement price today at $59.03 a barrel. July at $59.59, up $2.59. June ethanol at $1.69.5, a penny and 7 tenths higher. Natural gas traded the June at $4.14.8, up 5 cents on the day. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.76. up 8 cents on the day. June heating oil futures up 5 and 7 tenths of a cent at $1.47 and 6 tenths. And June propane at 70 and 1 tenth of a cent, just about 9 tenths of a cent lower. May gold futures down $9.60 at $921.30. The Dow currently trading up 207 points at 84.75 for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 82.66. is up 0.36. The CRB index at 241.16 is up 4.92 on the afternoon. A flood warning is in effect, by the way, for McLean County. That until 6:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this time. Tonight, mostly clear skies. Lows will range from 43 in the northeastern parts of Indiana to 82 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. And then tomorrow, the extended forecast says sunny and pleasant. Highs will range from 75 in eastern Indiana to 82 in southwestern Illinois. Let me go back and catch that tonight forecast for you, because I think I read tomorrow's to begin with. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows from 43 in northeastern Indiana to 53 in the western part of Illinois. The extended forecast says very good drying rates will set up across the Midwest this week, as we will see at least 6 to 8 days. That's right, 6 to 8 days of dry weather. Temps should climb into the 80s by the midweek and on.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
On a Monday afternoon, time to check the closing market report with... Oh, my gosh. Everything just seems to be escaping me this afternoon. I'm sorry, Kurt. I just was so busy thinking about the weekend and all those days of dry weather. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities that I just couldn't come up with the right name. How are you this afternoon?
Doing good. Thanks, Todd.
Did you play ball over the weekend?
No, we got rained out.
You got rained out?
Yes, we did.
We played in Charleston over the weekend at a nice little tournament down there. And I tell you, we went down on Saturday, of course, and then back down on Sunday. And it's amazing how quickly ponds can get out of a field. But there's an awful lot of wet soils out there. And I suppose when you're talking to producers, they're telling you, what, by Thursday or Friday of this week, the first time they'll try to go if they can get the dry weather?
That's pretty much what we've been hearing. You know, the wind keeps blowing, the sun keeps shining, and we do get up to 80 degrees. Best idea is maybe Thursday, for say. But, boy, there are some areas that saw 3 to 4 inches that have standing water yet, and that's going to be just a little bit of a longer process. But for those who did not get the big rains, it's got some slope or some sand to it, we'll be back going then. And then, too, we'll assess the damage of where the standing water is that maybe some replant, too, Todd.
Well, this is one of those days where you might have thought that the markets would dive down because of that dry weather that's in the forecast and the idea that Illinois and parts to the east of here would have gotten or would get started planting at least in a big way. On the other hand, there's an awful lot of green in Chicago. Is it all about the outside markets?
I think that gave us some support. The crude oil is up over $2.70 a barrel. The Dow is up over 160. The dollar index is down 35. Metal is a little weaker, but I think the outside markets did give the market some help, some ideas. Maybe some investment money could come in. Funds were buyers on the day here, as we did start out negative on a drier forecast, but was able to work our way out of the hole. But probably what helped the psychology of the grain complex was Egypt coming in buying some U.S. beans and China buying some U.S. beans. So a lot of the strength continues to be from the big bean business we're seeing worldwide. And I feel that sort of gave the market some confidence, too. So it sort of sets the stage that last week's highs is going to be some resistance. Then the overnight lows is going to be support. Maybe consolidate here as we go through midweek and look for some direction from there.
Any direction you think will come this afternoon with the reports?
It's going to be kind of interesting. As a nation, you know, they're expecting the corn planting progress to be about 65% versus 48%. When you look at the average this time of year, it's 88%. This is one of the slower starts. You got to go back to this 95, 96 area where we've been this slow. The big one, of course, is Illinois, even Indiana, for say. You know, last week we were 10% complete in Illinois and about 11% in Indiana. Ideas are that could jump up about to 30%. So we'll see how far along we are in the eastern belt here. If we're more than that, we'll probably open steady. If we're less than that, I imagine we could probably add 3 or 4 or 5 cents tonight.
Mm-hmm. The bulk of the crop in the state of Illinois, depending on what happens, but, well, the bulk of the crop, it's not going to depend on what happens this afternoon. The bulk of the crop is going to be planted after the 20th day of May. Do you think that the trade will take that into very much account? I know that Darrell Good, in his Farm Doc article this afternoon, wrote about that. You want to see it, you can read about it online at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. He's thinking that this may be the latest start in Illinois in 50 years. Will the trade actually take a look at it at some point? Darrell's arguing that they need to.
I believe so. This time in 95, we were 37% planted as a state, so we'll see where the numbers come in. It's definitely one of the slowest. Not only putting the crop in late and being subject to lower yields, but We're hearing quite a few guys starting the switching process, actually physically taking corn back and lining it up some bean seed. When you look at Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, you're talking quite a few acres. In Illinois, you're over 12 million acres. So it's going to add up. When you look at the current supply-demand balance sheet on new crop, and you start taking away a few acres and start lowering that yield a little bit more, we can start bringing the ending stocks down even tighter yet to some areas where the trade could start to be concerned about it.
Are they switching in, the southern part of Illinois from Effingham South or somewhere in those areas, or are you talking about guys further north?
Both. Both, actually. I've heard of guys in southern Illinois. I've heard of just east of us, Arrowsmith. I've heard as far as north as Streeter. So, not on a large scale. If we'd happen to catch some moisture here this weekend, a little heavier than what you think, you might hear a little bit more of it. But to what magnitude, we'll have to see here. But for the most part, majority of guys are going to stick with corn clear in the first part of June. A lot of guys have already put on anhydrous or nitrogen and pretty well set there. Then most guys like sticking with corn versus beans.
They're sticking with corn. Anything that they need to do besides make sure they know what they're doing with their preemptive planting sorts of things?
Well, it's going to vary from area to area in what type of situation you're in. You got to stay up on preventive planting, and you got to see what, or do you have crop revenue? There's a lot of variables from producer to producer, so you got to check in, see what your options are. That's the main thing, is seeing what options you have and stick to a plan what you're most comfortable going with.
What are you telling producers when they call in? I suspect they've got enough time that they're still talking to you rather than planting today.
Well, good question. This morning we're bearish. This afternoon we're kind of positive. Sell, sell, sell. Buy, buy, buy.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, this market is so fast, and a lot of guys said we're seeing moves that used to take 6, 7, 8 months occur in just a few hours. It's an unbelievable touchy. The news is fast and furious and emotional. But we're sticking to our plan here. We recommend making some sales here when we got up to this December corn, when we got up to this 445, 450 area. Our next level, if we can crack 450, we'll target that 475, 480 area. Our number one strategy is to have 100% coverage of put options. That way you got a floor under you and you don't get emotional if this thing goes down and does not come back like it did today. So we got to use the weather strength, the weather rally in here to sort of reward the market. We're not recommending going 100% sold by all means, but we feel that we got to use the strength here to sort of get to where you want to be going into the heart of the growing season.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go?
Boy, we still like this livestock market,
right.
Especially the cattle. You look at the kills compared to a year ago in numbers, we're starting to see smaller numbers show up. This economy ever starts to turn around and start to get this retail business, especially at the restaurant level, to take off in here, we feel there's $20 to $25 up in the fat market.
Thanks much.
Take care. Thanks.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with all the ag news for the day.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, a chairman's draft of legislation on climate change released Friday by the House Energy and Commerce Committee spells out no clear role for agriculture in providing carbon offsets for industry. People familiar with the situation said that does not necessarily mean that committee chairman Henry Waxman sees no role for agriculture, but that Waxman may leave agriculture's role in the bill to the House Agriculture Committee to add to the legislation. An amendment for agricultural offsets also could come up in Waxman's full committee debate this week. The chairman's mark only mentions agriculture in relation to studies regarding the impacts of climate change in different circumstances. Michigan Representative Bart Stupak plans to introduce a new bill in Congress that would empower the federal commodities regulator to oversee all over-the-counter and carbon derivatives, rein in excessive energy speculation, and ban the trading of naked credit default swaps. The bill, which is a beefed-up version of one that was introduced twice in recent years, comes just a few days after the Obama administration unveiled a detailed plan to bring over-the-counter derivatives such as energy and credit default swaps under the tent of federal regulation. An EPA review panel wants more data on Pioneer's refuge-in-a-bag idea before it will support refuse reduction to 5%. The panel was not convinced that the mixed seed idea provided significant protection against corn rootworms becoming resistant to the Herculex RW trait if the non-BT companion seed was planted at rates of less than 20%. The panel said the corn rootworm has well proven its ability to adopt. North Dakota ethanol producer Red Trail Energy LLC may be headed to bankruptcy or shutdown if the company is unable to renegotiate its loan agreement with First National Bank of Omaha. Right now, the 50-million-gallon plant expects to have enough money to operate through the end of 2009, but, quote, that the level of available capital that we have left may be insufficient to sustain operations through the first quarter of 2010, according to the SEC filing. Red Trail estimates that it will have to buy its corn supplies at 20 to 30 cents below market prices this year to maintain cash flow. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you that you can hear both of those programs, other agricultural programming, anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, there are some unofficial numbers now for yield losses in Illinois due to the delayed planting. I'll have more on what history tells us will happen and how individual farmers in the state can start to calculate lost yield potential. The 10th day of May is a milepost of sorts for corn planting in Illinois. The ag economists at the University of Illinois say the historical numbers show that for every percentage point of Illinois corn crop that is not planted by May 10, the final state average corn yield drops by 1/10 of a bushel. This year, 90% of the corn crop in Illinois was not planted by May 10th because the ground was, well, just too wet. So, 90% times 1/10 equals 9 bushels of corn lost per acre on average in Illinois, just because it had not been planted by the 10th day of May. In dollars and cents, that's 9 bushels times the USDA's May average cash price for the coming crop year of $4.10, or about $37 an acre, a corn farmer won't make this season in Illinois. Of course, those numbers are all statewide averages. Let's see if we can't pin down a more farmer-specific number. The University of Illinois agronomists have statistics that show daily bushels per acre lost for corn in the month of May because of delayed planting. That number is 1.5 bushels per acre per day for the middle 10 days of May and 2 bushels per acre per day for the last 10 days of May. So let's go back to May 10 now and keep the rain coming and the planters out of the field. And we'll do the math to see when it might make sense for a farmer to switch expected corn acres to soybean acres. Let's start in southern Illinois, or the lower one-third of the state. By May 15th, the economic pendulum in southern Illinois is swinging to soybeans. That swing does not happen during the month of May for the upper two-thirds of Illinois. Even on the last day of May, it pays about $240 more an acre gross to plant corn than it does to plant soybeans. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Hey, by the way, today Daryl Good released an interesting article on the FarmDoc website. We talked about it earlier. You can get to it at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. It takes up in detail what late corn planting in Illinois, maybe the latest in 50 years, might mean, and includes one forecast of a 22 bushel per acre statewide yield loss. I'll try to get him to talk with us about that later in the week, but if you've got the time, you should read it for yourself. Just search Google for FarmDoc, all one word. It's the first thing that comes up.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the line with us to talk about the cash grain market is Greg Johnson of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It is wet, wet, wet. I asked Kurt earlier, and I suspect we'll get the same answer Thursday or Friday this week. As long as it stays dry, they'll get in?
I think so. Thursday's maybe pushing it in places, but I think there probably were some areas that didn't get quite as much rain. Maybe they can go Thursday. It sure looks like Friday, Saturday for most people, though.
What's the cash grain market look like today?
Well, farmers continue to sell old crop corn on this rally. We've seen basis levels down at the Gulf and here in the interior weakened by a couple of cents. In a lot of places, we're still hanging in there at 10 under, but Gulf basis is a couple cents weaker on corn. Bean basis, on the other hand, is simply exploding, with Egypt buying 4 million bushels of old crop beans and China in for another 4 million bushels of new crop beans. Basis levels are up 8 to 9 cents down at the Gulf. And so bean basis continues to be extremely hot, and there just seems to be very few beans, old crop beans, left for sale.
Does that mean we'll get a big rally sometime in the middle of the summertime, you think?
Well, we've already had a big rally. We're up seven, you know, this is the highest we've been in 7 months. And
right.
I just don't see it stopping. You know, it reminds me of last year when China bought beans leading up to the Olympics, and you know, there was very little selling, and then once the Olympics hit, the Chinese stopped buying, and the market went back down again. So who knows how high is up, but until that buying slows up, it feels like we do want to work higher in soybeans.
From your vantage point, is that what farmers are thinking, too?
I think so. I mean, we're hoping to get, we didn't plant as many beans last year. We planted more heavily corn here in central Illinois, so we have fewer beans to sell, and number two, we don't have any beans in the field for this year so people don't really want to sell anything until we get some in the ground.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes at 415, new corn 414, cash beans 1156, new beans 957, and new wheat is 507.
And one final question, do you think that the corn basis will get narrower over the week?
Yes.
All right. By how much?
I would say we could probably see an improvement of 2 to 3 cents.
Thanks much.
Okay, thanks, Todd.
All right, that's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons to talk about the cash grain market. We'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, about the weather forecast. And if things hold true, they should tell us about a dry week and maybe a bit more than that. Coming up.
It's National Cheese Soufflé Day. It's also Rooster Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1808, Elijah Craig died, a Baptist minister in Kentucky. He was an important figure in the invention of bourbon whiskey. He ran a paper mill and started a distillery in 1789. Legend credits him with being the first to use new charred oak barrels to age corn whiskey, which is a key step in making bourbon. In 1824, Wilhelm Hofmeister was born, a German botanist. He discerned the regular alternation of sexual and asexual generations in plants, which is the basis for the explanation of the life cycle in all known plants. In 1875, Robert Horton was born, an American hydraulic engineer, he is considered the father of modern hydrology. His studies established a basis for the analysis of soil erosion that enabled strategies for soil conservation. In 1935, Alan Burns was born. He was the creator of the character Captain Horatio Magellan Crunch for Quaker Oats Captain Crunch breakfast cereal. And in 2001, Hong Kong ordered more than 1 million chickens and other poultry killed to halt the spread of a bird flu epidemic. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. On the line with us to take a look at what's happening in the world of agricultural weather right here in the Midwest for the most part today is the folks from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Mark Russo is on the line with us. Hi, Mark.
Hello there, Todd.
Are we going to have dry weather?
We are going to have dry weather across much of the Midwest, especially in the wettest areas of the belt, namely southeastern Iowa, much of Illinois, on into Indiana. It will be dry today, rest of today, tomorrow, on into Wednesday, Thursday, and even into Friday. So at least 5 days of totally dry weather, sunny skies, temperatures warming up to slightly above normal averages. And obviously this is badly needed after last week's impressive rainfall totals.
Yeah, 63 degrees outside the studios today, but by tomorrow, the next day, we'll be climbing into the 70s and then maybe the 80s?
80s thereafter, at least for a couple of days, with then a cool down expected over the Memorial Day holiday weekend. At least for rainfall prospects, it looks like that front here will produce a pretty scattered activity, especially just across the northern sections of the Midwest. And at least for Indiana, Illinois, and Ohio, the next primary chance of rain is going to be either late in the holiday weekend or early next week. And much of that is actually associated with a front with an area of tropical moisture now kind of vicinity of Cuba. And some of the computer model guidance develops that area into what we call a subtropical system. And then that moves into the Gulf of Mexico and eventually tracks northward into the eastern Midwest. But that is very debatable, very suspect at this time. But that is really the risk to the forecast here coming up, and it's those rainfall prospects about a week from now.
It sounds like if it were to develop properly, that's when you get that kind of thing, picking up that much moisture, it really drops a lot of rainfall. Am I right or wrong on that?
No, you're right on that, and exactly, Todd, it comes down to the exact track, which actually for this time of year, for a system to make it all the way up into the Midwest, it's more unlikely than likely.
Oh, that's good news. So, well, we have dry forecast through Friday, sparsely scattered showers over the first part of the weekend, and then we'll have to keep track of that bigger storm system that might be developing around Cuba, right?
Exactly.
And after that?
After that, it looks like there will be some more rain opportunities, although the pattern looks to become at least more active next week compared to what we're going to see this week. It does not look like a repeat of what we've seen over the past couple of weeks.
Are you willing to say the cycle is broken at this time?
Well, we're certainly saying that that the pattern here, depending on which part of the belt that you produce in, but certainly some changes in the pattern here are now taking place.
Mark, thanks much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. Thanks for being with us, and you have a great and a very safe day.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.